intimations this morning. First of all, Josh is away on presbytery business in Tarvis today, so he won't be here. So I'm taking the service. But to begin our intimations, there is a trustees meeting on February 12th at 7:30 in the church center. There will also be a session meeting on the 19th of February, also at 7:30 in the church center. Coming up, we have another praise evening, so come join the praise band on the 24th of February at 6:30 p.m. Our theme this time is He's Still Working on Me. Men's group is happening again this month on Tuesday, the 26th of February, and our speaker will be Professor Tom, Tom Greggs from Aberdeen University. So come and hear his story at 7 p.m. with a meal. See Leslie Mackay to book your place. For the prayer rota, we're still looking for new volunteers to join the Sunday service prayer rota. If you'd like to be added, please contact the church office. Just a reminder, the life and work money needs to be paid by the end of February. The total is £30.60. As part of this new thing that the Presbytery is doing, part of the Presbytery Review Board, we're spotlighting one parish a month. And this month, we're spotlighting Inverurie St. Andrews. So I would ask that all of us could join them in prayer as they are looking for a new minister and trying to call someone right now. As always, this week, the Bible Discovery Groups are happening. This Wednesday at 7:30, Josh and I will be teaching on Luke 4, and this Monday, David will be teaching, I'm pretty sure, still on Matthew, so come along to that if you would like, either Monday at 7:30 or Wednesday at 7:30. And with that, let us now begin to worship as we ask God to speak in our next song, Lord, As We Come to You.
You receive the fruit of your glory, Lord.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we come into your presence, resting in your promise. We bring to you our prayers, our joys, our dreams, and the things that overwhelm and terrify us. For this next hour, may we lay them at your feet. May we consider them, surrender them, and come fully to you. Fill us with peace, and fill us with hope, and fill us with joy to worship you. In this holy place, meet us here. Prepare us to sing for you, hear from you, and learn from you. As we think about who you are, who we are because of you, and what kind of life we are called to, help us to discern how to love and serve you. We lift up our offerings. May we know how to steward our resources to serve your kingdom and to share your love with others. We are here to serve you. Guide us on your path and help us when we stray. Amen. We have been given the incredible gift of God's love. So what better question to ask than our next song, What Kind of Love Is This? Normally, this is the part of service where I ask the kids to come up and join me. But as there are no kids, I'm just going to carry on with all of you guys. We made these really fun-looking scrolls for the kids to teach them about what Paul has done and what his ministry looks like. And on the inside, there's a coloring sheet that has Paul and he's at his table and he's writing letters. And the purpose of this is to share with the kids that Paul's ministry, a lot of it was letter-based. He wrote letters to all of the different churches that he helped plant to encourage them, to challenge them, to show them different ways of doing ministry. And I was going to have all the kids help me count, but maybe you could help me count how many scrolls I have. And then that will show us how many scrolls Paul wrote. So we have one. But
the letters that he's written, I don't know if all of you know how many he's written, but I'll read all of them out. He's written Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st Corinthians being a letter we're going over this month. He wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. So when we read this list of letters, we know not only did Paul have a far-reaching ministry all over the area that he was in, but he also wrote to specific ministers, people like Titus or Timothy. Paul's main focus was to make sure that the people that he's ministered to as a church are well cared for, but also the ministers, that they know how to handle different issues that rise up in churches. So when we learn about Paul, we see this method of ministry that wants to encourage, but also to challenge, which I think is still a very good model for our churches today. So thank you for helping me count. Now we know how many letters he wrote. But if you guys would bow your heads with me, I'll do a quick prayer. If you want to repeat after me like the kids do, I find it very fun. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us Paul.
Thank you for giving us Paul.
And teaching us, that we need encouragement and challenge too. Help us to encourage others. And challenge ourselves. To love you best. Amen.
Thank you very much. And now, we're going to do a children's song, so I'm going to ask you to lean in some more to your inner child today as we stand and sing Jesus, Send Me the Helper.
Jesus, send me the helper.
Thank you.
us open our Bibles to read today's passage, which you can find on page 1145 in your Bibles. We're going to read chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thanks be to God for this reading today. As we worship, we offer ourselves to the Lord as we say, Lord, I come to you. Let us bow our heads and pray before we begin today's teaching time. Lord, we pray that you would quiet our hearts, that we could enter into your presence as you speak to us today. Bless this time. In your name, amen. Wisdom. It's a characteristic we usually ascribe to gray-haired, elderly, experience-rich individuals. To be wise is to understand something that the typical person cannot. To be wise, sometimes, is to speak with persuasive words, to provoke deep thought. There's any number of ways that we usually think of wisdom. And Paul addresses our perceptions of wisdom as well. He says, "We Christians speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." You see, Paul was living in an age when wisdom meant slick talk, a firm grasp on language, the ability to argue persuasively in the town forum. And this kind of wisdom was magnetic. Successful people were wise. Intelligent-sounding people were wise. Did anybody know what the wise were actually talking about? What they were actually saying? Of course not. But they sounded really good while doing it. It was as if you spoke loud enough and with enough conviction, you must be speaking wisdom. But Paul didn't speak like that. He actually had a message he was trying to communicate. He didn't use flowery language or speak with grand gestures or command the attention of the successful. He simply spoke the truth. And what was this truth? What was the wisdom Paul was trying to speak? Earlier in chapter 1, verses 22, Paul says, "Jews demand miraculous signs, and Gentiles look for worldly wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." Christ crucified, then, is wisdom, the wisdom of God. And this type of wisdom was utter foolishness to those who heard. They must have thought, what kind of God dies a shameful death? What kind of God is crucified like a criminal? And then you say he rose again. Impossible. You're crazy. To the world, it was easy to discredit Paul's message because the world believed that gods don't die. And gods especially don't die very human, painful, shameful deaths in utter obscurity. And here's where Paul begins to unravel what godly wisdom is. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. God's wisdom is secret. Hidden. Weird words to use about wisdom if God wants us to know and understand it, right? Well, wisdom isn't secret and hidden anymore. And Paul tells us what this secret is in another letter he writes, in Colossians. "The message that has been kept hidden for generations, but is now disclosed to the saints who are making known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." God's wisdom, that is Christ and his death and resurrection, is the secret and hidden wisdom that generations had awaited. No one knew God's plan for salvation until Jesus stepped into history and acted out redemption. And now we know that wisdom. We understand the mystery of redemption because Christ has revealed it to us. But there still seems to be a difference in understanding wisdom. For Paul says, "None of the rulers of this age understood it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory." The world doesn't understand the wisdom of God. They didn't understand it to the extent that they crucified the one person who could bring about all their wildest hopes and dreams. Why didn't they understand wisdom? Is there some kind of difference between those who can understand and those who can't understand wisdom? Paul tells us there is. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. For God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit makes us able to discern wisdom. God has revealed his mysteries and wisdom through the Spirit. So is the Spirit a communicator between us and God? Is it some vague, ephemeral entity we don't fully understand? For me, the Spirit has always been the person of the Trinity I know the least about. I've done, and the churches I've been a part of, have done a good job talking about God the Father and God the Son, but the Holy Spirit, at least to me, still seems like a fringe person, not entirely understood, and I sometimes grapple with what his role actually is. And as if Paul senses that the Spirit is a hard concept to grasp, he explains what the role of the Spirit is. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? It is the same with God. No one can understand God except the Spirit of God. As Karl Barth, a theologian, summarizes, God is known by God alone. So then, like I am the only one who fully understands myself, the Spirit is the only one who can fully understand God, because the Spirit is God. In essence, like knows like. Now, if you can bear a slight tangent, I think I have an illustration that hopefully will illustrate this point. Back when I was still a nursing major, I had to take a chemistry class. And while I remember very, very little of the class, I do remember one story the chemistry professor told us. And the principle was, like dissolves like. And you see, my chemistry professor set up a cheeky experiment on his wife. They had a really pesky coffee ring stain on top of their countertop. And no matter how hard his wife tried to clean this coffee stain out of the countertop, it would not come out. No matter what kind of detergent he used or soap or how hard she scrubbed, she couldn't get it out. And so he said, "All right, if I can get this coffee stain out, you have to take me to a really nice dinner." And she says, "I've tried for weeks to get this out. There is no way you're going to get it out." "Sure, you can take me out to a nice dinner." And so he's standing there and he's holding his coffee cup and he saunters over to the countertop and he pours the liquid coffee out onto the countertop. And she says, "What are you doing? I've spent weeks trying to get this coffee out. You cannot put more coffee on." And she's all up and very excited and nervous. And he just takes a washcloth and wipes up the coffee, and just like that, the coffee ring is gone, as if by magic. But that's the principle. Like dissolves like. Something in the coffee bonded with the coffee stain to take it out. The same is the principle with God. The Spirit knows God more than anything else ever will. And so when we know anything about God, it is because the Spirit has somehow communicated that truth about God to us. In verse 12, Paul says, "We have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." The Spirit, then, is a deciding factor for understanding wisdom. those who do not have the Spirit, those who have rejected God and rejected faith, can't grasp God's wisdom, God's plan for redemption. But those who have the Spirit, we as Christians, have the great privilege of discerning and understanding God's good news, God's wisdom, and God's indescribable gift of grace in Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. So, in juxtaposing the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, Paul has redefined wisdom not as a philosophical or rhetorical term, but as a historical and salvation-filled word. Wisdom is Jesus coming to earth, and wisdom is Christ crucified. Wisdom is the historical reality of Jesus coming to us with the purpose of saving us. So Paul's goal in this chapter is to define wisdom and to explain how we can know wisdom through the Spirit. But his purpose is to call us as Christians back to our fundamental identity as those who have received the Spirit, and Paul calls us to act accordingly. As those who have the Spirit, Paul says we have the responsibility to rise above the divisions and issues categorical of the world. In the previous chapter, Paul talks about divisions in the church, disagreements and lack of unity. Later, Paul is going to speak about how the Corinthian church gave in to temptations, let the magnetic pole of sexual immorality and idolatry take over. When we lack true wisdom, we can very easily lose a clear vision of ministry, and we are easily pulled into destructive patterns. So Paul calls us back to true wisdom, interpreting life in the light of the cross. He says, live a life worthy of the gift of the Spirit. We can no longer be pulled in by the rhetoric of the world or sucked into the cultural dialogue that leads to destruction. We must strive for unity, and we must strive to know God. And with the Spirit's help, we will understand God's wisdom. We will understand that Christ's death and resurrection radically changes how we are called to live as God's Spirit people. Amen. From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, we are God's people. May we learn to serve him always as we sing this next song, From the Breaking of the Dawn.
Stand on every promise of your word. Our prayers for the world of which we are part. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning with our prayers for the world. We thank you for the freedom we have here in Kemney to come to church and to share our faith in Jesus with others without fear. We pray for fellow believers who don't enjoy the freedom we have. Please be close to them and give them the strength they need to continue in their faith. We recognize you as our Father, as creator of this world and everything and everyone in it. We thank you for your goodness to us day by day and for everything you give us. Lord, forgive us when we grumble and complain about relatively unimportant things which affect our lives. Forgive us too for our selfishness and help us to keep a proper perspective and to look to the much greater needs of others. Father, as we pray now for the peace of the world, we pray for rulers and politicians that they might have the wisdom to know and the courage to do what is right. We pray for those who work tirelessly to improve international relationships, that they might find the true way to reconcile people of different race, colour and creed. We pray for men and women the world over, that they may know justice and freedom and live in security and peace. We pray for those people in areas of the world where the situation at this time is particularly desperate. We pray for the people in several countries who are starving. We pray this morning for the people of Venezuela, a country which, because of its wealth in oil and gas, would normally be very wealthy, but due to poor government, sees its people without the basic necessities of life, its hospitals with insufficient medicines, its citizens with little or no food. Lord, we pray that the leaders of that country might be able to bring some stability to their people. We pray for those in Brazil who've lost loved ones following the collapse of the dam near Brumadinho. We pray for our own government, who have very difficult decisions to make regarding our relationship with Europe. Lord, we pray that our politicians might do what is best for our nation. We pray for your church worldwide. And we pray especially for those who live in areas where it is hard to be a Christian. We thank you for those who spend their lives helping others to know you as Lord and Saviour. At home, Lord, we pray for our minister Joshua and his wife Heather. Please bless them in their duties here in the village and further afield in Gordon District. We pray too for Kylie and ask you to bless her what she does while she's here with us in Kemney. Lord, we know that you will hear our prayers and ask you to answer them as you will. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
When the rulers of this day seem to be in charge and taking over, let us remember that there is a higher throne and it belongs to our God.
Is high as your, and all the stars are faithful.
Just a quick note, if you would like to have a coloring page on Paul, you can grab one on your way out. But go out seeking the Spirit, growing in true wisdom as we live our lives worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.